Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Opel. Get behind the wheel of your new Opel at the Opel Open Road event now on at your Opel dealer.
Ireland's National Gender Service is today launching its first website for anyone looking for support in relation to medical and surgical interventions to help affirm their gender. It's hoped the website, nationalgenderserviceireland.com, will become the first port of call for those seeking more information on gender care in Ireland. Dr. Carl Neff, endocrinologist and clinical lead at the National Gender Service at St. Columbkills Hospital in Loughlinstown, is with me in the studio now to tell us more about the new resource. Good morning to you. Thank you very much for coming in. So 6 years on from the introduction of the Gender Recognition Act 2015, this website is launched. Can you explain to us why it has taken this length of time to get to this point?
Absolutely. And thanks, Claire, for having us on to launch our website, www.nationalgenderserviceireland.com. And it's taken this long to get it done because resources have been in short supply. So in actual fact, 2015, the Gender Recognition Act came into law. But we've actually had a gender service in St. Columbkills Hospital in Loughlinstown since 2000. It's just only been formally commissioned as a gender service from 2018 onwards. And I've been in post since 2019. Over that time, we've seen a very rapid increase in referral rates, going from about 200 to 300 maximum in the first 10 years or more of the service to now over 300 per year. And that has been an exponential rise in referrals that really started about 2015-16, but is continuing, although it is plateauing. So in that context, all of us in the clinical team, I mean, this website was generated, was designed, was constructed by us, the clinical and administrative members of the National Gender Service team. So this was done by us in parallel with our very busy clinical schedule. So it has taken longer than we'd like, but we're delighted that it's now.
And I had a look at the website last night, and it has some very helpful information there for people. But the stark message that stood out for me was that you're going to have to wait to be seen.
Yes. Unfortunately, our waiting times have really continued to increase over the last couple of years. When I arrived in 2019, it was about 14 or 15 months from referral to first appointment. It's now about 2.5 years. The problem is that that is going to get worse unless we get additional resource. So as we've said on the website, this is the current waiting time, but it may change for better or worse. It will definitely get better if we get additional resource. We have applied for many more posts to try and bring that wait list down. Those are being reviewed by our colleagues in the HSC and the upper echelons above us. But unfortunately, if we don't get those posts and we don't get those resources, waiting lists will get worse, not better. So on the website as well, there is a section for while you wait. So some things that people can do while they're waiting that can help them to feel better, help them to affirm their gender and help them to access support while they're waiting to be seen by us.
Is that problem, the delay, the staff that you need, is that frustrating for you as clinical lead?
It's extremely frustrating for all of us, not just me, because all of us on the team administratively and clinically want to provide the best quality service we can. And we're trying to do that in a very difficult environment where we are facing a much greater workload than we have capacity for, as well as trying to develop the service. So all the stuff that's happened in the last 2 years has been done really by the clinical and admin team on the ground in parallel with our busy clinical schedules. And it is frustrating to see that. It's very encouraging to see that that work has resulted in so much progress. So many things have got better. The website is one example of that, but there's many other examples that people will see that are attending the service. But the frustration is that there seems to be a lack of recognition in the broader health service, and I understand there are many competing interests, that unless we get additional investment, things are not going to get better in terms of waiting times.
And the 2.5 year wait time, that's disputed by some of the support groups, because they say if you go to see your GP when you're a teenager, you can't go on that waiting list until
you're 17.
You're 17. So you may be waiting much longer.
You may be. And unfortunately, we don't have, the Children and Adolescent Service was based in Crumlin, and I don't work with Crumlin. I can't comment on the service in Crumlin because I don't know exactly what's happening. But you're absolutely right. If somebody at 15 goes to their GP and says, I would like to transition, it seems to be, and certainly even I did a triage meeting this week, about half the referrals we get per month now are people 17 to 18. So these are people probably waiting until they turn 17 to be referred to the adult service. But if there was a functioning younger person service, then they could be seen earlier.
Okay, and you don't know what's going on there.
I have no idea, unfortunately. No.
There's a section on the website aimed at healthcare professionals. Is it your experience that transgender people feel there's an issue with how some healthcare professionals deal with them when they come forward?
I think there's two things. One is that sometimes people, GPs or any healthcare professional, feels a little bit scared of how to approach somebody's gender when somebody comes to them and identifies themselves as gender questioning or transgender. So there's a little piece of that, and that's something that we can help healthcare professionals with. But the other piece is that a lot of times healthcare professionals think the only thing that matters, or the only thing I can do, is refer on for hormones or surgery. But there's actually lots of other things that could make a very positive difference in that person's life when they see them while they're making the referral. So what we're really hoping is that that section for the healthcare professionals will help inform them and guide them onto what they can do while the person is waiting to be seen. But we're also very clear on the website, as you've seen. We have contact details there for service users, people on our waiting list, or healthcare professionals. If you have a question, ask and contact us. We're very happy to give as much advice as we can.
Do you have the capacity to do that, though?
We do. We work long hours and late nights, but we do it. And we do it because we know it makes a difference and we know that it can help people. So we're now, again, and I say this to everybody, service users and healthcare professionals, we're not always able to answer the call as it comes in or respond to the email that day. But if you leave a message in our voicemail or if you leave us an email, we will definitely get back to you.
You mentioned at the beginning how the growth in the number of referrals that are coming through. I think you had 55 in the last month. Around 50?
Yes, the last 2 months, yeah, we've had more than 50 each month.
What do you think is happening there? Why is there this exponential growth in people seeking help?
I think it's a combination of factors and nobody really knows for sure. Certainly the Irish experience is not unique to Ireland. You've seen the same trajectory in referral rates all over the world. So in any country, it seems to be somewhere in the mid-teens, like 2014, 15, 16, everywhere started to see this very significant rise in referral rates. There's a lot of reasons why that might be. One is just visibility. So people who are questioning their gender will see this topic being discussed or on the radio or on TV. They'll see transgender characters in the media and say, oh, being trans is something that's possible. You'd be surprised how many people that we see in our service who had questions about their gender for a long time and never realized that that was a thing, that
and
you could be gender diverse.
Sense to them.
And then they see it. So visibility is key. I think the other thing is that people know there's a service now. So even though the service was there for 20 years, a lot of that time, it was if you knew somebody who knew there was a service, you knew it was there, but otherwise you didn't think it was possible to even start thinking about medical transitioning. So there's lots of reasons, but I think visibility and access are two big ones.
We need to leave it there, but the website is available to people from now, nationalgenderserviceireland.com. The waiting lists, we've acknowledged them, but as you say, there is help available on there and you guide people towards resources. Dr. Carl Neff, thank you very much for coming in.
Thanks, Claire.